I said we are. Born. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Third hour on this Tuesday. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe alongside. Let's bring in the man, the myth, the legend, Tim Hasselbeck. Brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Back-to-back games on a national stage. Sunday night football, Monday night football, and the Rams get housed. Concerned? Not concerned? Your thoughts on what the Titans and 49ers just did to L.A. the last two games?
Yeah, I think there's got to be concern because also in there, you know, Robert Woods ends up with a big injury. And, you know, they weren't – like last night was not competitive. So, yeah, I think there's got to be real concern out there, especially when you think about, you know, the NFC and – you know, just not just the conference, I guess, but the division as well with Arizona. And I know Arizona, you know, wasn't great last week, but they're going to get their players back. And so, yeah, I think there's got to be real concern. And, look, I think it's interesting on this Odell Beckham situation that, you know, he gets cut in Cleveland because they can't find a trade partner. Then no one claims his contract. And then the deal that he gets is really not all that great of a deal for a guy that, you know, so many people are out there talking about how incredible he is.
Yep.
You know, and then last night on the Manning cast, you know, Peyton and Eli go diving deep into, you know, a sixth-round running back that went to high school in Louisiana, but yet, you know, not – so, you know, I think that, you know, with all of that stuff, I think, I don't know. I'm not sure about the impact he's going to make.
Yeah, I don't either. And I don't buy what a lot of people are saying, that he's still an elite number one receiver. I don't buy it at all. So what do you think's going on? What do you see? I mean, they just keep adding names, Von Miller and OBJ, and they already have a bunch of names on that roster. It's not like they're not good, but I mean, what have you seen the last two games? What's gone wrong? And Stafford has definitely not looked good the last 2 weeks.
That, and I'm right. So offensively, yeah, that's been the key. Let me just go back to the Titans game. The Titans, I mean, Jeffrey Simmons took the game over.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, that's certainly an offensive line, you know, issue. And really, if you go back to that game as well, like that ends up being like, look, Stafford turned the game around when he throws the terrible pick, you know, when he's pressured near the goal line, and then you know, obviously it's a great play by Kevin Byard, but that's also a bad play by the quarterback. So yeah, I think when you factor that in, you look at, you know, last night turning the football over. Like, I don't care how explosive you can be, like, and we've seen this with the Chiefs, like, if you're turning the football over, like, that's just, it's hard on your defense. It's, you know, they're defending short fields, they're playing more snaps than they need to be playing, and it dictates the outcome of the game. So I think the quarterback play has been the biggest thing, and then, you know, people have, you know, at times been successful running the ball on them. And like, I'm going to be out, you know, on an island on this one. And I've had arguments with Jeff Saturday about this, and I think this goes into when you just sign stars, you know, not guys that are willing to play a role on a team. Aaron Donald is awesome. He can dominate a football game. He also takes some liberties and he guesses and he pass rushes sometimes on run plays. And, you know, Jeff Saturday argued with me that, like, that's okay. That's just, like, the cost of doing business when you have a guy like him. But I see people rip off, like, 12-yard runs because, you know, he's putting a swim move on a guard trying to pass rush, and they're running the ball in the A-gap right inside of him. So I think there's an element of when you are signing guys that don't want to play a role necessarily and are looking to make plays themselves, that those things can happen.
Hmm. How do you explain what happened? Let's go back over to the AFC side. How do you explain what happened on Thursday night with the Ravens? Like, you think about it. They should have lost to the Colts on, what was that, Monday Night Football. They had no business winning that game. They needed a 66-yard field goal that doinked off the post and in, or the crossbar, and in to beat Detroit. I mean, they've had all these close wins. What are the Ravens? Are they good? Are they a fraud? Like, what are they? How do you explain them getting how? But I mean, that was an awful game against a very, you know, a below average Miami Dolphins team.
Yeah, I'm going to admit I watched a lot of the Pitt North Carolina game.
You did? Yeah, that was a fun
game.
Was going. That was a fun game.
It sounds like you did too. It was like, oh, not as much fun as I thought this was going to be. Let's go over here. Let's go check out ESPN right now. With those quarterback runs, they run QB bash, and it's just like, I don't know how anyone can stop this. Like, it's just, it's so good, and I don't know how you're doing it. And then all of a sudden, he's making, like, you know, difficult throws to the tight end, and you're saying, like, wow, like, these guys, they're hard to defend. Like, what do you try to take away? And there's other times where it's just like, they look really bad. And I don't know for the life of me what it is. I really don't. And that's why, like, this weekend, Pittsburgh's tie. Like, Pittsburgh could end up being in first place in that division if they don't tie to a winless Detroit team. So to explain, like, what's going on in the AFC, especially the AFC North, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, man. Like, I really don't, because everyone wanted to bury Pittsburgh earlier. And if Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have COVID, they're probably in first place in that division.
Yep.
And so, yeah, that thing maybe isn't as good as we thought it was. And, you know, maybe those teams aren't as dangerous. Come see them in the postseason, you know, if you see them in the postseason, then, you know, from what we thought.
Okay, let's stay in that division. Jekyll and Hyde, what are you getting every week? And I kind of feel like the reason they're Jekyll and Hyde is really because, you know, they're a byproduct of their quarterback. And I really want to know how you feel about Baker Mayfield, because when I watch him, and I feel like we have firsthand knowledge of what this looks like in this market because we've yeah. seen it before. Like, the quarterback constantly has to get propped up to look good, because in the end, they're not elite, and so they have to always be given the best of everything to try to make them better. And I kind of feel like that's what Baker Mayfield is. We know he's not elite, but from game to game, I just don't know what the hell you're getting with that guy. When you see the Browns, what do you see?
Yeah, here's to be just really clear on Baker. Baker is not elite. He's not a make everybody around him better player, but he is more than good enough to be, you know, play starting caliber football. Now, what happens is when he gets banged up, which he clearly is right now, then all of a sudden he can't play to his best. And so now it really doesn't look all that great. And look, here's what I would say with him. Like, to me, like, I don't think Baker is as good as Kirk Cousins. Okay? Now, Kirk has been really, like, Kirk had the benefit of being pretty healthy throughout his time as a starter. And because of that, like, go look up Kirk Cousins' numbers. Kirk Cousins' numbers are really, really impressive. But he's played for good play callers. He's played with good supporting cast. And, you know, they're playoff caliber teams, you know, with him. And so Baker, I don't think, can play at that level when he's injured. And consistently. Like, I think he can at times, but consistently. And so, yeah, I think that's why you're getting the up and down with him. And look, that's a problem. You know, the other aspect of it is this, too. And I have been pretty hard on New England, I think. I don't love their perimeter talent on the offensive side. Quarterback's playing great. defense was not playing great early, but they seem to be playing significantly better now. That also may be just a way better football team than maybe we realized. And look, they maybe are as good as anybody in the AFC.
I want to know a player's perspective. I want to know if there's going to be any fallout in the locker room over what took place with Teddy Bridgewater and the Broncos. They get housed at home by the Eagles.
Yeah.
He throws a pick. They gets taken to the house. I don't remember how long it was. It was long. It was a long touchdown. And he basically had
a one-score game when it happened.
Yeah, it was a one-score game, and he basically Olay'd. Well, he Olay'd him at about the 50-yard line. The 50-yard line. And just basically peeled off and didn't even touch the guy as he runs into the end zone 50 more yards to the end zone in a one-score game. Is there going to be fallout in the locker room? Because they all see it. How does that play out moving forward, in your opinion?
Yeah, there's a saying in the NFL, be who you can afford to be. And so what that means is, listen, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you can not go to any off-season workouts, and that's okay. You can afford to be Aaron Rodgers, okay? If you are Logan Woodside, you need to show up for the off-season program, okay? Be who you can afford to be. Tom Brady does not want to run down an interception. Everybody understands that Tom Brady's not going to run down and you know, try to make a play on an interception. But Teddy Bridgewater can't afford to be Tom Brady. And so I think people are going to look at it, especially when you have guys that are fighting through injuries, and every team has them, to be like, hold on a second. This is a one-score game. I'm playing with a partially torn labrum. I'm playing with a dislocated elbow. I'm playing with a bad ankle or rib or whatever it is, shoulder. And you're not even going to try to make the tackle. Like, you're literally going to tap out. I do think that's a problem for who Teddy Bridgewater is as a player.
Yeah. Washington, you brought them up. You brought up Tom Brady. That's the Bucs. Lose going into the break. They have a bye week. They come out of the break with a loss. And how impressive was that Washington drive? What, 10.5 minutes in the fourth quarter in a three-point game? Let me just say this real quick about Taylor Heinicke. And Chase knows, because I've brought this up back at the beginning of the year. I was like, I'm impressed. Like, this guy, I think, can play. I'm not endorsing him as a 17-week quarterback in the NFL, even though he's going to be that this year. I'm just simply saying, I don't know how it's all going to play out with him. I think he brings enough to the table. This guy is going to be in the league for a long time. It may be as a backup, but this guy in spots, I was really impressed with him. I was really impressed with that drive. Tampa Bay's chomping at the bit to get back on the field so Tom Brady can come back and win this game, and the Bucs defense can't get off the field.
Yeah, he's got some Ryan Fitzpatrick in him. And, you know, I do know this. When he was in Minnesota early in his first couple of years, that coaching staff, I believe it was North Turner, they really liked him. Thought he was a very good player, and obviously, you know, finding your opportunity is hard. I don't believe he's a starter, you know, in the NFL. He obviously is this year. But I think Washington will, you know, look to upgrade at the position. But to your point about that drive, it was incredible. And I think here's the thing that's disappointing if you are Tampa Bay. You know, for as good as they were offensively and can be offensively, but their defense was as good a year ago. Remember, it was their defense that in the Super Bowl got after Patrick Mahomes. And for that defense to have that happen to them in that spot of the game has got to be alarming. And I would be more concerned about getting things fixed on defense, you know, as they've had injuries at corner and they're trying to fix that issue. I'd be more concerned about fixing the defense than I would be about the offense. Brady's going to get figured out on the offense. But that defense needs to get things right, and right now they haven't been.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, and let's stay in that division. Cam, told everybody he's back with the Panthers, but we saw that they get the win. I mean, what's realistic here, though, with Cam Newton? He's getting first-team reps this week. I would assume he's going to be the starter moving forward with Darnold out. But, I mean, can he realistically get them back to the playoffs?
I don't think so. What, he threw four passes this weekend?
Yeah.
Look, there are some things that he can do that are going to be really good. And, you know, he's back and all that stuff. But, like, I think the reality is he hasn't really not been very good since, like, I don't know what it had been, 2016? Like, it's been a while since he's been really good. So, I think, or maybe it was 2018. Still, it's been a long time. And so I think it's unrealistic to think that he is going to, you know, kind of take that small, you know, sample size of what we saw last week and have that be a throughout a game type performance. I just don't think it will be. Now, they'll be able to do some cool stuff with him because he'd probably still be a threat to run, but staying healthy and being able to do it would still be a big concern of mine going, you know, for him going forward.
I know Russell's been hurt, but, you know, I think there were a lot of things with Seattle in the offseason that kind of you wondered about. They're 3-6 right now. If Russell can get healthy, who knows what happens with that. But what's kind of your long-term view with the Seahawks moving forward, not just this season?
Look, I think if Seattle were able to – let me put it this way. If Chicago had a quarterback to offer Seattle, I think Russell Wilson would have been gone last year. So I think that Seattle is kind of tired of, you know, was not thrilled with Russell last offseason. The fact that they're not winning, and which probably makes it, you know, Russell less happy. Yeah, if they're not a playoff team this year, which they don't look like they are, and they probably are not going to be, I could see him ending up somewhere else. And I could see, you know, Seattle turning the page. And I think there'll be people that are interested in Russell Wilson.
Is Pete Carroll the head coach?
I do think Pete's still the head coach. I think it's just in his DNA. I think he loves doing it. I think there's a good relationship still there. But I think that he may try to do it a different way with a different quarterback.
The Dallas Cowboys turn it around, just throttle Atlanta. Here comes my Dallas question. So do you kind of view the Denver loss as just a bad week and now this is back to how they were? And also, how impressed are you with some of the injuries they've had on defense that they're still able to keep it up the way they are?
Yeah, I do think it was one of those weeks. That was the hiccup. You know, that's the Jets game for the Titans. You know, that's the one where you look back and you're like, man, I don't even know what happened. And defensively, yeah, look, I think that what they've done on defense, when you think about how bad they were a year ago and then you think about some of the stuff they've had to deal with this season, that's probably been more impressive than, you know, how they've played on offense. But, you know, offensively, they can be they're when Dak's going, they're really, really good, and they've got really good talent. And for all the criticism of, you know, Jerry Jones as the general manager, they've got talented players on their team. They pick good players. They sign good players. And, you know, I think when people talk about, you know, Jerry is the GM, I think people need to give credit to him for the level of talent they have on their roster.
Tim, the Titans play Houston this week and look to go 9-2 and continue the top spot in the AFC. But I think all of us are looking ahead a little bit because I believe New England is going to be their biggest test that's left going on the road at New England. The Patriots playing good ball right now. Do you agree with that, that could be the toughest one moving forward for Tennessee?
I do think that. You know, I said kind of what I said about New England and the quarterback's playing great. And, you know, I do think that's the case. And, you know, look, the you know, sitting where the Titans sit now, beating some of the teams that they've beaten, you know, so when you think about head-to-head, you know, I know we got a lot of football left, but, you know, with the one seed getting the bye and that's it now, just think of the magnitude of that. And, you know, with an extra week of the regular season and, you know, more playoff games being played, the wear and tear, the fact that, you know, that's one more shot. And I don't know Derrick Henry's situation, but the potential for, you know, maybe a return. Like I being in the driver's seat this year feels like it's a bigger deal than it has been in the past, especially when you start to factor in, you know, some of the things, you know, that are going on with the Titans. So, yeah, I think that getting through some of what they've gotten through earlier in the season – and how that stacks up if they can kind of – if they continue to play well, that's a big deal. And I will say this. I saw changes in their offense that were significant, and it's not a drastic change, but changes that need to be made, you know, without Derrick Henry this past weekend, and I think that's a really encouraging sign.
Hey, Mr. ACC, who's the next Virginia Tech coach?
Well, look, I don't know who the next Virginia Tech coach is, but I think there's.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
Cut out right as we're.
No, I didn't. Did I cut out? Am I back?
You did.
Am I back?
I think you said the next Virginia Tech coach is, and then you cut out.
Yeah, I don't know who the next Virginia Tech coach is, but think about this. You know, Miami also just fired their athletic director, so the Miami job could end up being open. And you think about the jobs on the West Coast that are going to be open. You know, so Washington State, USC, you know, UCLA and Arizona State may be available. You know, and then, you know, so guys are going to move to those jobs. So what happens at Penn State? What happens at Notre Dame? LSU is available. Mm-hmm. You know, is Lane Kiffin, does he end up being the Miami coach? There are so many moving chairs, and I think there's going to be guys in the ACC that are drawing interest. So whether it's Dave Clawson at Wake Forest, whether it's quite honestly it's Jeff Hafley at Boston College, like, and this isn't even taking into consideration, you know, what's going to happen with NFL coaching jobs. And Clemson, that's held on to their coordinators, Brent Venables and Tony Elliott, for a while, like, people are coming after those guys.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a fascinating year with college coaching. It'll entail, you know, some of these.
Tim, what do you think that job is at this point?
I was going to say, I think it's interesting. You know, it's cute that Dabo gets all the praise for keeping Venables. And, you know, his staff is – they've kept them together. But then the minute something – you know, they don't have their, you know, undefeated season or just where they lose a game. They have just an average season. Now everybody's probably going, I think maybe it's time for change, right? And I think probably that will prompt change, don't you think?
Well, here's what I think's happened there, Clemson, is, you know, Tony Elliott and Jeff Scott had been there a long time. Jeff Scott takes the South Florida job. Yeah. They were co-coordinators. Tony Elliott now is making, you know, he's making very good money as a coordinator. And so, you know, why go chase a job that you don't love? And then for Brent Venables, I mean, it's been clear that, you know, there have been plenty of people that have come after him. He'll be a very good head coach somewhere. And, you know, he has sons that play on that team at Clemson. You know, he's got a linebacker and a safety, you know, sons that he's playing, you know, that are playing for him. So same deal. He's making a lot of money. So why go chase something else? Those guys are good coaches, and people are going to come after them. And, you know, as for, like, hey, the Virginia Tech job, is that a good job? Look, that pays a lot of money. That's somewhere between $4 and $5 million is my understanding. And you can get good players coming out of the state of Virginia that want to go play at Virginia Tech. So, there are that's an attractive coaching job. And so I think there's going to be massive movement. I think it'll have, you know, obviously for down here, people's interest, you know, there's SEC and, you know, certainly ACC, you know, factors that are going into it. But look, somebody told me right away, like, I don't know, Manny Diaz is still the head coach at Miami. With the athletic director fired and them having a disappointing year, the Miami job. And, you know, the first name that was mentioned to me on the Miami job was Lane Kiffin.
I know. Is that a good job, though? I mean, can you win at Miami unless you're cheating your know-what off? I mean, is it really a good job?
There's a lot of history at that program, and there are a lot of players from Florida that would love to play in Miami.
I know, but
you know, it's not as you know, everyone can talk about facilities and that stuff, and maybe that's a factor for some. But there are a lot of players that would love to go play at the U. A lot of players.
Yeah, well, there were a lot of players back in the day.
Saying all this, think about this: the Florida. What's going to happen in Florida? Like. Is that a safe situation?
We were talking about it.
Well, if they would have lost to Samford, it wouldn't be.
Right? So, is going to be wild. Absolutely wild. And, look, I think there'll be coaching. This is that all.
The West Wing just can't handle
it. He's in the castle.
Are you kidding me? It's the West Wing?
Yeah,
this is crazy.
I'm
literally
castle
the same. I'm the same spot all the time. Same spot. That's frustrating to me.
I think you're messing with us because every time you're about to say something really good, it's like a cliffhanger. You just go away, and we're like left sitting there going, "What? What is he saying?"
I'm not lying. I've done this interview in the same spot for 5 years straight. So.
Tim, always a pleasure. Thanks for doing this. Have a great week, and we'll do it again next week.
All right. See you, fellas.
Tim Hasselbeck, every week. Always good to chat with him. And it is true, though. I feel like a lot of times it's like a cliffhanger.
Yeah, he's about to say something really, really good, and it cuts out.
And then it cuts out. By the way, every week he is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Chase, why don't you tell them about BetMGM?
I will. Let's talk some hoops because BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, welcomes you with a special offer on the NBA. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game, and if either team in that game hits a three-pointer, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. All you have to do is use the bonus code 1025GAME200 when you make your first bet. Enjoy NBA action like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Just download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that code 1025GAME200 to win $200 in free bets if a three-pointer is made in the game you wager on. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.